In a minute, we're going to enter the Q&A period, and I'd like to start with a few shares, people who had an interesting experience in this journey and would be willing to share it with us. Then we'll get to questions, and then we'll work individually with one or two of you. Let's begin with someone who wants to share. Darren, go ahead.
Hi, Lion. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. The description of being in the womb was very different from my memory of it, but that was okay. The interesting thing was huge scores of ancestors showed up. It was really interesting. It was a very beautiful experience, and I just wanted to thank you for that and to share that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, our ancestors are important because, you know, we took on not only our parents' beliefs, but also the beliefs that they inherited from their parents and from their parents all the way back. So it's really wonderful that your ancestors showed up to take back their beliefs. So thanks for sharing that. So let's do some work with Joe. Joe, what's up for you?
It's interesting. If I reimagine myself back in the belief closet, my mother isn't very interested in leaving.
Yes, remember that she's there at your invitation and that you can invite her out as well. So if she's not interested in leaving, these kinds of things happen sometimes. It probably means she has a message for you of some kind. So she wants to deliver it. Did she say anything to you after the ceremony?
No, I didn't hear anything. The messages that came to me were my dad actually saying, we want what's best for you. I didn't get a specific message from my mom.
Okay, so what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes and just return to your belief closet where your mother's waiting for you and tell me when you're there.
Okay, I'm there.
Is your mother there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, with great tenderness and love, I just ask her the question, Mom, what do you want to tell me?
Mom, what do you want to tell me?
Just receive whatever comes in whatever form it appears. It might be words, might be pictures, might be full movie reel, memories, or feelings, or maybe just sensations. So what impressions are you getting?
That she needs me to know that she did her best.
Yeah, she wants you to know that she did her best. Right. So, did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's sharing a really strong message. Her message is about her. She did her best. That she wants the best for me. It's an issue of what she provided. I'm hearing some guilt on her part.
Yeah. So she feels bad about her own limitations. So can you just reflect back to her and say, Mom, what I'm getting from you is that you want me to know that you did your best and that you had some limitations that you feel bad about.
Mom, thank you for sharing that message with me. I hear that you did your absolute best. You raised me the best way you knew how, and that you want what's best for me, and you still do.
And then ask, did I get that right?
Did I get that right?
And what's her response?
I'm sensing a message of I'm wondering if I've done enough, and I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Yeah, so you're wondering whether you did enough in the relationship with your mom?
Yeah, in terms of achievement, I'm getting a question about am I good enough? Have I achieved enough in life?
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's interesting. So there's a question coming up about your own capabilities. It sounds like somebody's judgment. So just ask the question, whose question is this and who's judging me?
That's a good question. Whose question is this, and who's judging me?
And does it appear to come from her or from inside of you?
It's more mine. It's inside me.
Okay. So let your mom know that you're judging yourself and that you're willing to let that go.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate everything that you've given me, Mom. I know you're judging yourself, and I can feel myself judging myself, and that's definitely something I want to let go of.
Just ask your mom if she feels complete and is now willing to go.
Mom, do you feel complete now? Are you willing to go? He is. Yeah, she is. Yeah, that completed the visit.
Great. Great.
Yeah, she left.
Okay, good. So just send her your love and your blessings and then return back to your body and feel what it feels like to have that be complete.
Wow, yeah, my shoulders feel a lot more relaxed.
Good, good. Now, this could be the completion that you needed with your parents. You know, we have to let go of our parents' expectations and our parents' belief and our parents' desires for us so we can find ourselves, because all of us have carried these things around our whole lives, and now that we're adults, we get to choose. So thank you for bringing this, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn.
All right. Let's go to Diana next. So Diana, go ahead.
I need a little clarity on this. I felt like when I was in that closet and I was trying to get back to the three people, the mother, father, and grandmother on my mother's side, I felt something at the top of my shoulders between my heart, like horizontally, that I couldn't let go of. Something in my body just didn't want to let go.
Uh-huh.
I could feel these strings, like it was almost the whole attachment of my body to that. But I did it a little bit differently, a little twist where I just used the fire. I don't know if that was a little bit too abrupt or something. I have no idea. I'd like a little clarity.
Okay. Okay, good. So, you know, often we're not able to let go of beliefs because they're attached to our relationship with the person. This has come up a lot in my work with people. I'll say, okay, are you ready to let go of the belief? And they'll say, yes. And then suddenly they realize that that belief is what kept them tied to that person, to their mother or father or their partner. Yeah, and the fear is, if I let go of this belief, I'm also going to let go of my relationship, because the belief represents the relationship. It's so closely tied to the relationship that it's considered it's like loyalty to the person. So if I give that up, then I'll be disloyal. So are you aware of what the belief is that you weren't able to let go of, or was it just a sensation?
I think it has something to do with religion, and it had a long history of religion. Emotionally, it's in the relationship with my parents. I'd say I've said it before, and I've taken more of an action in saying I'm giving up my family. That's something deeper than me. I'm okay with that in my cognitive aspect. Inside, mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's somatic, like it's in my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially the first time I felt it so clear across my shoulder to shoulder, you know, shoulder to shoulder at the heart level. And now
mm-hmm.
as I'm speaking,
mm-hmm.
it's all this heat all the way up to my head.
Good. Okay. So would you be willing to go into your belief closet and do a little work there?
Yeah, I would. It's really
okay.
Hot. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and close your eyes and take yourself back to your belief closet and let me know when you've arrived. And for those of you who are listening, if something like this happened, just follow along with the process and work it yourself, because every person is an echo of every other person. So you may have had something happen like this as well. So, Diana, are you in your belief closet?
Yeah, I'm there.
You're there. Okay, great.
Yep.
Yeah, good. So walk up to the mirror and first close your eyes and feel the sensation that's across your shoulders and in your heart and up into your head. Just feel it as a sensation.
It's like fire. It's just burning.
Okay, and just feel the burning. You know, how hot is it? Can you tell the temperature by sort of holding a thermometer up to it? You know, what's its temperature?
Well, from 1 to 10, I'd say it's 8, like between 7 and 8.
Okay, so it's very hot. So just feel how far it extends out to your shoulders. Maybe even it might even go beyond your body. And how high up into your head, and how far down does it go, and how far into your heart area. Feel the whole volume of the burning.
feel it mostly in my neck, my ears, my chest, at the heart level, horizontally.
Good. Okay. Now, as if the sensation were a person, imagine that it was someone you could speak to in the belief closet, and it will respond. So ask the sensation, what belief are you? And then listen to what it says.
What belief are you? What are you? What belief are you?
Now, the answer might come in any form, might be in words, might be in pictures or sensations or memories.
Keep hearing, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it.
I don't want to do. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know. Something's, all of that.
Yeah. And are you aware of what it's about?
No.
Okay, so just ask it in a gentle kind of way. What do you not want to hear?
What do you not want to hear? That you are love, that I am love.
You are love. Mm-hmm. So ask the sensation, what would it mean if I heard and knew that I was love?
What would it mean if I knew and heard that I was love? Keep getting that. I don't know in my heart chakra.
Okay, now ask the question, what would it mean that I didn't need my parents?
What would it mean I didn't need my parents? I feel more at peace with that in my body. It's like it's all calming and soothing.
Yeah. So if you knew that you were truly love and you were complete in yourself, it would mean that you didn't need them. You know, as a child, you needed your parents. And because of the religion and the traditions that you grew up in, you needed your family, right? You needed the family to survive. You needed family to be okay. Yeah. And you need family to feel loved. And if you became truly independent, if you really knew that you had everything you needed inside of you, you wouldn't need them any longer.
Yeah.
So to the child self, this is what it means. Now, as an adult, what it really means is that if you were complete and whole in yourself, you could love them from a different place, not from a place of need, but a place of true love, you know, unencumbered, unbounded by the needs of family. So tell the sensation this, if I know that I'm love, I'll be able to love my family even more profoundly.
If I know that I'm love, I'll be able to love my family more profoundly. Be able to love my family more profoundly.
Yeah. And then ask, with this understanding, are you willing to let go?
With this understanding, are you willing to let go?
And what response did you get?
Pretty weak, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this belief is precious to you. Now, you don't have to let go of a belief if you believe it's precious. You can put it in a special place in your belief closet. So what I'd like you to do is to take this belief and this sensation and make a special place for it in your belief closet and tell it, you can live here and you can watch and make sure that I'm okay and that I love my family. So it can make sure that you're connected to your family. That's what it wants. It wants to make sure that you're connected and feeling connected. So create a special place for it, like construct a beautiful display case for it or a special shelf and put it on that shelf or in the display case and make sure it's comfortable there and help it understand that it can continue to be aware of your connection to your family and support you by letting you know if you get disconnected. Does all that feel good and right?
That just feels absolutely so right. I've been working so hard trying to get rid of that resentment I've been holding on to.
Yeah.
It's been beyond my ability. You know, I feel love and appreciation, and I understand the awareness that I have, but there's always been this particular strain of resentment in my heart that I wake up to every morning that tries to express itself in some way, and I haven't known how to appease it.
Yeah. Well, this new way, this new place you have for this connection that's really based on love, but it was based on need, right? But now you're an adult, it can just be based on love, and the need can let go. So that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing this.
Oh, thank you for helping me through that. I really appreciate it.
Very welcome. Okay, we'll go to the next person. Brenda, we'll give you the microphone. Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't seem to have any problems with the exercise itself, but I did have some intense beliefs come up during the question process. I could work on those with a coach, right?
Yes, definitely. You could just bring that list of questions right into your coaching sessions. Is there one in particular that you'd like to work on that overwhelmed you?
Oh, yeah. All attention is bad.
All attention is bad. Okay. So let me ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer if it's uncomfortable. When you were very young, did you get a lot of bad attention, meaning attention from adults that might have been alloyed with sexual intent or bad intent or something like that?
How to answer that? It just seemed like any attention, like if I had some favoring by a grandmother, for instance, that was bad and is my fault.
And whose opinion was it that it was bad? Who didn't like that?
Well, my mother. She still talks about it.
Okay, so it sounds like there's some jealousy issues here. So how about when she was getting attention? Was she okay if she was the one getting attention, or does she not even want you to be in the room?
I still get it that she just doesn't want me. She'd rather not see me.
So she'd rather not see you at all?
Yeah, when I speak to her, when I see her, I always see this sort of face like, ugh, God, I have to deal with her. That's how I take it anyway. But all attention is bad. It just seemed like if I got that attention, that was bad at some level. I couldn't do anything right, especially with my mother. Since I'm the oldest, it seems like that went right through my family.
Well, my intuition is to recommend a book to you. Tell me if you've heard of this book or read the book. It's called Children of the Self-Absorbed. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a very powerful book. It's about narcissism in parents. And essentially, if our parents didn't get enough attention from their parents, they became kind of narcissists, and all the attention had to be on them. And if attention went off of them, then it was bad because they needed the attention. So it's possible that your mother was a real narcissist and that you were a problem because you took attention away from her. So, you know, if you got attention from somebody else, that took attention away from her. And the only thing that was working for her is that if she got the attention. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I guess I just thought I was a scapegoat.
Well, you probably were, but you probably weren't the only one.
Pretty much it was all me.
Were you an only child?
No, I was the oldest. I felt like my sisters were taught the same thing. And it was focused on me.
Okay, well, it's also possible that your mother just didn't like you.
Oh, right.
Yes, parents don't like all their children.
Yeah, I get it.
So the most important thing here is to recognize that it's not your fault. You know, your mother's own psychology was the cause of the problem. It wasn't you. There was nothing ever wrong with you. But because of your mother's neurotic tendencies and her narcissism, you became the scapegoat for her problem. So you became the problem. Now in family systems work, this is called the identified patient. You know, family will come to a psychologist and say, that kid's the problem. You know, so you were identified as the problem in the family, and all the attention focused on you was oriented toward you being the problem. So it's not true, and it wasn't real, but that's what it looked like and felt like, and that's what it seemed like. So you took on the belief that you were the problem, and consequently, all attention on you is a problem. You know, you're getting any attention whatsoever is a problem because that attention reminds you that you're the problem. So what we've done is identified kind of a core complex here. So the cluster of beliefs probably includes, I'm the problem, all attention is bad, no one should look at me, I shouldn't talk to anyone. I shouldn't do anything that draws attention to myself. That kind of thing.
You know, if something good happens, I get afraid. This is not just when something bad happens. I get afraid and anxious as much as I would if something bad happened. It's like a catch-22.
Yeah, it's a total catch-22. You know, in plainer language, it's like you're fucked if you do and you're fucked if you don't, right?
Oh, exactly. So my income has been so unstable. I'll make a really good income, and then it will just go really bad.
Yeah, well, of course, that fits the pattern, because if you earn a lot of money, then it's going to draw attention to you, so you better stop that, right?
Oh, I just realized that. I mean, I knew it was going on. I just didn't know why. Wow, that just came across really intense.
Let me suggest that you do a little writing about the beliefs that are in this cluster. The reason to write them down is because it becomes clear to the conscious mind, like, oh, these are just old programs. They're just beliefs. They're not true. They're not who I am. They're just like clothes that I took on or that other people put on me, and then I can choose to take them off. So what we're trying to do is separate you from the beliefs that you took on because of your circumstances. It's totally understandable that you took them on, and it's not your fault.
Yeah, it's shocking to me because I do understand what you're saying about separating and not identifying with the belief, not sort of coupling all that together. Thank you. That's really helpful. Really helpful.
Great. You're very welcome. So do get that book, Children of the Self-Absorbed. It's one of the best books about this problem with parents who are narcissists or destructive narcissists. So it sounds like your mother was actually a destructive narcissist. That means not only am I the center of attention, but I'm going to destroy you and make sure you're not going to get any of what I need, which is love and attention. So it sounds like that's what she did. And I think that book will help you uncover some of that pattern.
And thank you so much. This has really helped me. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate your being so vulnerable and willing to share all that with us. So thanks. Okay, now we'll go to Darlene. Darlene, I'll give you the microphone in just a moment. Okay, there you go. Welcome.
Okay, thanks. I guess I need a little help identifying some of the beliefs. Because when I think about money, I know there's a lot of confusion and stress there, but something about me is kind of numb, and I can't really articulate the beliefs.
Okay, great. I'd be happy to help you through that numbness. You know, numbness is a real feeling. It's not just the absence of feeling. It's actually a feeling, and it can be felt just like any other feeling. So what I'd like you to do is to go into your belief closet and tell me when you're there.
All right, I'm there.
Great. Okay, so walk up to the mirror and just notice what outfit you have on right now. So what does it look like?
Well, funny enough, it looks like a bit like I'm in the roaring 20s. You know, I'm wearing a sort of black and white flapper dress with that, you know, that headdress. It's also black and white, fancy feathers.
Yeah, good.
Pretty wild.
How does it feel to be in this outfit?
Pretty entertaining to me to look at. Let's see, do I feel anything about it? Yeah. Some parts like the strap of the headdress and the gloves and the other parts of it feel rather confining.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So just ask the outfit, what belief are you?
I'm paraphrasing it. The belief is, I'm here to just entertain others. That's my purpose.
Interesting. And for you, what does this have to do with money? Like, first of all, do you feel like an entertainer, or are you an entertainer?
No, not on purpose.
Okay. So what comes up?
Really crazy alcoholic, like rageaholic father. He just demanded so much control. He controlled the money. He never knew exactly when he was going to blow up, but for sure, you know, he'd be guaranteed he'd be upset if it had anything to do with money. He would be upset. So I guess some sorts of beliefs were that the only one allowed to have it or take care of it, that he was the only one. You know, there were a lot, all sorts of fears associated with it, especially when I was a kid, I was psychic as all hell. I could just see his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And he gambled a lot. A lot of the upset he had around it had to do with his fears of what would happen if he didn't pay his gambling debts. So I would see that and not really know whether those were events that happened or just his thoughts. I still don't know. Anyhow, some of the memories, those are some of the memories I have, but the discrete beliefs, it just feels like there is only one in there that's really it, some real stinker of a belief. I just don't have the words for it.
No. Okay, okay. So take off the flapper dress and set it aside for a minute. You might want to hang it up in the closet or, you know, you might need it sometime, especially when you're going to entertain people. Some beliefs are useful at certain times, and you don't have to wear them all the time. So go ahead and take that one off.
I'm hanging up my headdress. It's off.
Okay, good, good. I love those flapper dresses.
Yeah, I do too, really.
Okay, so now close your eyes, the imaginal eyes you have in the closet, and I'm going to do a little bit of guesswork here to pry out the belief. So thinking back into your childhood, feel what it feels like to hold the belief money is dangerous.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that.
Okay, so really feel the feeling of it and let the feeling come into you. Let the fear rise up. And this is not a good feeling. It's a bad feeling. See if you'd be willing to feel it fully just so it can come through you and not be stuck in you anymore. So money is dangerous. What does that feel like?
Really terrifying.
So again, just be willing to feel how terrifying it is, the terror that was associated with your father, with his terror about not being able to pay his debts and being beaten or worse, maybe even killed, not being able to take care of his family, and feel the addictive nature of his gambling and being out of control, and his addiction to his rage and his misery and his deep shame. These are huge feelings in a man. And if you were open as a child, and obviously you were, and you felt them, and they were overwhelming. So feel all the fear that he had.
There's a lot of demonic energy, yeah.
Yeah, so see if you're willing to feel it, because only if you can feel it can you reveal it and then heal it.
I'm okay. I'm feeling it.
All right, good. So just let it come through and take a breath. Breathe through it and recognize that these feelings are created by the belief. And the belief was founded on these real experiences you had of your father. And now recognize them as his beliefs and his feelings. When you're ready, open your imaginal eyes and see what outfit has been produced to represent this belief.
Okay, my eyes are open. Funnily enough, I'm dressed in a bird outfit. I'm a wren. I'm wearing feathers. They're actually very pretty, very downy, and just a very beautiful marble-type pattern of feathers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now to me, the outfit doesn't jive with the belief. So simply ask this outfit, what belief are you?
There's no safety on earth. You'd better fly away.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Okay, so this is a related belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank it for appearing and speaking with you, and take it off and set it to the side.
Okay, it's done.
Okay. So now close your imaginal eyes and feel what it feels like, again, to hold the belief money is dangerous and feel it in your body. And I know you probably have a resistance to the feeling, but see if you can just open it up and say it's just a feeling and let it come through.
Well, now there's a lot of anger, which is much better than the fear.
Right, right. So there's real power in anger. So those big feelings are feelings of power. So let the power come through. You know, when your father was angry, he held a lot of power, and to you as a child, it was dangerous. So feel the power of the anger, and when you're ready, open your imaginal eyes and see what outfit's been created to represent this belief and this feeling.
I'm dressed like a warrior. Basically, there's a white robe or gown, like, you know, like a Grecian gown, I guess. There's metal, jewel-crested waistband, and there's some sort of headdress.
And are you masculine or feminine in this?
I'm feminine.
Okay, so you're a female warrior.
I'm a female warrior.
Okay, and again, ask this outfit, what belief are you?
You are dangerous. Actually, it's saying to me, I am dangerous. Yeah, I guess I can feel my father's fear of anything that he couldn't control. He couldn't control me.
Good, good. So this is your father's belief that you are dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. So thank this outfit for appearing. It's another related belief. And go ahead and take this outfit off and set it next to the bird outfit.
Okay,
so what we're doing here is undoing the cluster of beliefs. So close your imaginal eyes and again feel the belief money is dangerous. And let all these factors, your father's gambling and his anger and his control and his rage, and just see how all of it's kind of glommed together with money. Now, this is a big complex thing with lots of parts to it and lots of experiences and a lot of junk. There were a lot of bad things happening and bad feelings. And just feel the complexity of it and the richness of the negativity. It's like a big negative bundle of crap.
Okay.
Okay, so again, open your eyes and look in the mirror and see what outfit's been created this time.
Like a costume. I look like Peter Pan or something, but I'm carrying a sickle.
Oh, that's an interesting combo. Okay, so again, ask this outfit, what belief are you?
You only get out of this by dying.
Wow. Wow, that's big. Okay, so thank it for communicating. So, you know, we could go on and keep finding new parts of this complex, but we don't have a lot of time. So this is a very big complex for you. You know, if we had another hour, we could just keep going and get to the core. You know, remember that the core is experiential. It's not just words. You know, I'm using the term money is dangerous as a kind of the core that I intuit, but the core belief is actually your set of experiences that are all clustered together, you know, all these bad things that happened and the bad feelings that happened. So I suggest that you write these down, including the ones you just said, and a description of each of your outfits, the bird and the Grecian, the warrior, the female warrior, and then keep going on your own and keep trying to sort through this. So this is a big complex and it can be unwound one belief at a time. You could take each of these beliefs and work with it in the belief closet, put it in the incinerator and get rid of one at a time. So you may need to do that for a while, and you might need to go through a number of them and clear each one until the core sort of makes its appearance.
Okay, but how will I know when it's the core one?
Well, you might be able to do it yourself, but I suggest working with one of the coaches. When a core belief gets discreated, there's kind of a big explosion and the whole complex disappears or most of it goes.
No, I mean, but how will I know? You told me to keep going through it. We've brought up all these different beliefs without discreating them and working with them. It seemed to me that we were on a quest to find the outfit that was really, you know, the money is dangerous outfit.
Well, that's true. But what's happening, which is fine, is that your subconscious mind is saying, well, here's a part of it, and here's a part of it, and here's a part of it, and here's a part of it. You know, we could keep going. And I suggest that you either keep going on your own or with one of the coaches because it will take some time to uncover and pull this cluster apart. So each one of these beliefs is valid in their own way. You know, each one is a belief that you have. It's a conclusion you came to. And it's no wonder that you have trouble with money. You know, it's associated with power and fear and anger and rage and danger and control. All those feelings that you're in the presence of and that craziness, it's all mixed together. So it's going to take some time to sort out. You know, there's not a silver bullet here that we can get to very quickly. It's a process for you. And I want to encourage you to keep going because you're on it. You know, you've got it. You've got the right target. You just have to pull it apart step by step. You may find some really awful experiences that are at the core of all this stuff, or it might be a combination of continuing experiences. You know, this is the basis of PTSD. You were in a war situation as a child. You know, when you find the core, it will be like a big gong going off, a gong, you know, and you'll say, oh, my God, there it is. That's the core. So it'll be really obvious. So it'll feel like the core, and it'll look like the core, and it'll be big and messy and nasty. That's when you know you've hit gold at the core of the cluster. So it might take a while. It might take many sessions with a coach to pull this apart, and that's perfectly okay. You're doing great. It's just that this is one of the big sticky ones.
Yeah, this is one I want to do myself, actually.
Well, that's great, but feel free to call me or any of the coaches for help, because there's a difference between, like, cutting your own hair, which you can do, and doing your own brain surgery. And so these big complexes are more like brain surgery than a haircut. So do as much as you can yourself, but ask for help and get help to move you past those things that you can't even see yourself.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thanks to all of you for being here and for your attention and for hanging in there to the end. I appreciate your time and your presence and your love and your support for each other and for your own work. And with that, I'll say good night. And let me just give everyone the mic, and we can say goodbye. 1 second here. Okay, bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Bye. Bye. Bye.